Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6, starting a new chapter. We breezed through 5 compared to 4. 4 took us like 9 weeks, and 5 we kind of went through pretty quickly. Now we're diving in to chapter 6. And last week, though, as we're diving into a new chapter, we started a new series last week titled Healthy Relationships. And we walked through a well-known scripture last week out of Ephesians 5:22 is where it starts. Some of you may be familiar with that as we talked about the relationship between husbands and wives. And I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week and you are a husband or wife, I encourage you to go online. You can go to dallas4.com, and up in the corner there's sermons, and you can listen online or bring it to your podcast. But I encourage you to listen to that message. I had quite a few people tell me last week that, man, it was a powerful message. And again, it wasn't me. It was with the Lord. It put up on my heart. But I really believe it's impactful for us as men and women, as husbands and wives together. And I think even more, I mean, we talked about last week that it's not just about husband and wife, but about just relationships in general. And so I encourage you, if you didn't get a chance, to go and to listen to that and let it challenge you, because it will challenge you as it challenged me all throughout the week. I said last week it was the most difficult message. I've been in ministry for 15 years, and I've prepared messages for youth and leaders and all through those 15 years. And that was one of the most tough messages I've ever prepared, as the Lord was really just working through me to bring out His Word. But it was exciting to hear how people received it, and it was a good thing. And so I encourage you to check it out. But today, we're going to continue that series on healthy relationships. And today we're going to talk about parents and children, all right? That relationship, as we talked about husbands and wives, we're going to talk about parents and children. And though these scriptures are about relationships, and the title is Healthy Relationships, I realized as I was studying through this week that this section about parents and children could actually really go hand in hand with the series we'll be starting in a few weeks on being a soldier. As we enter into the series of the armor of God, I realize it's interesting how these two can really go hand in hand. The reality is, a soldier's training doesn't start in boot camp. A soldier's training starts when they're young and how they're raised. It starts in the home. And so let's dive into these scriptures this morning and take a look at how that training can start at a young age. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we'll just look at 4 scriptures today out of Ephesians 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 4. And this is what it says beginning in verse 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, once again, we need to take a close look at the context of these scriptures, I think, to really understand where Paul is coming from. You see, the culture in which Paul wrote the scripture is quite different, and I mean quite different from the culture that we live in today. Much like I talked about women last week, and if you were here, how they weren't even considered a person back in these times, but they were just a thing. The same holds true for children, and the children were even had less respect than a woman had. They had no rights, and they did as they were told, or they would face the consequences. I thought this was interesting that I didn't know this before studying this, but I found that a father in this time had the right to inflict the death penalty upon their own child if they were disobedient. Could you imagine how much different your children would listen to you if you could inflict the death penalty upon them, right? Might not do some of those things that they do. As a matter of fact, too, in some cultures, when a child was born, they would put the child at the feet of the father. And one of two things would happen. The father would either reach down and pick up the child, and in doing so, he would be saying that he accepted this child as his own. Or he would turn and walk away. And if he turned and walked away, he would say that he was denouncing, I don't want anything to do with that child. And that child was literally thrown out, was literally given away, or they could be sold into slavery if they wished to make some money off them. But this is the power that the father had. And so the kids, they had no choice. They had no choice. They obeyed their parents. There was no question because of the authority that was there and was given. And so Paul, once again here, is bringing new light to the relationship between parents and their children, between fathers and their children. Just like last week he brought new light to the relationship between husbands and wives. No longer that ruling over, but here a relationship of loving one another. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. And the fact that he is acknowledging the children at all is a huge thing. The fact that he even spoke to children, because the children wouldn't even get the light of day back then. The fact that he is acknowledging them implies that Paul is showing that you have value. And he's bringing value to the child now at this moment. Plus, he is also acknowledging, not just that they have value, but he's acknowledging the fact and their role as followers of Jesus. Not only do you have value as just a person, but the fact that you are a follower of Jesus. In this time and culture, no one needed to tell kids that they needed to obey their parents. They knew that. So Paul wasn't saying this because kids needed to learn this, because they're so out of control. No, kids knew this. Paul was speaking to the child and giving them value. Paul's telling them that as followers of Christ, this is the right thing to do. It's a good thing as a young child learning to be a follower of Christ, that you have value and it's the right thing to do, not just because it's the law or what they can do to you if you don't. It's what you should do. It's right. And then he goes on to say, honor your father and mother. Not just obey, but honor them. There's a difference because we can obey, but not honor in doing it. And he's saying, honor your father and mother, which again was something that kids did in that time, because there's this respect level in honoring. Now, whether on the inside they were really honoring them or not, that's a whole other story. But the fact is that if they didn't honor their parents, if they didn't respect their parents, again, they could face consequences. But see, Paul is bringing it in a new light. He doesn't want them to do it because they have to do it. He wants them to do it out of love and respect for the Lord, out of love and respect for their parents. He wants them to honor their parents because they want to and they desire to, not because they have to, right? The Lord's same with us. He wants us to obey and respect Him, not because we have to. He gives us free choice. He wants us to do it because we want to. We want to please Him. We want to honor Him. But in today's culture, at times it's a whole different story. Not with everyone, but a lot. You look around at the youth in our culture today, and it's a whole different story. It's not uncommon to find children who don't obey their parents. We see it all the time. Walk into your schools, and you will see that. I volunteer in the school, and you see all the time kids who don't obey their parents. And everywhere you go, I've been in youth ministry for 15 years, and I've seen many kids who don't respect or honor their parents. You see, and earlier I mentioned a soldier's training doesn't start in boot camp. It starts in the home. The training starts in the house. In my studying, there's this Navy saying that I came across that goes something like this. Says, in the early days, and this is Navy, Navy men talking. In the early days, we had wooden ships and iron men. But nowadays, we have iron ships and paper men. And this saying comes out of the fact that due to personal and psychological issues with so many of the young men of today, because of the lack of discipline or lack of respect, an alarming number of recruits never even make it through recruit training, which is sad. They can't deal with the discipline. They struggle with respecting and listening to authority. And the thing is, I read that, it boggle my mind. And I know, I even saw that when I was in the military. I saw so many people to disrespect. I saw guys that get dropped and left behind and don't finish with us and get kicked out of the Marine Corps. And as I thought that, I thought, is it their fault? Or is it the parents' fault? Should kids obey their parents? Yes. Should they be disciplined? Yes, they should. And there's some aspect of responsibility on their part. But as I've been reading and studying this week, I'm realizing somebody has to teach them. Somebody has to teach them how to obey, how to honor and respect. And contrary to what some in our culture may believe, it's not the job of the schools. It's not the job of teachers. I've volunteered in the schools and teachers trying to control kids. It's not their job to really teach them. I mean, they work hard at doing that, but it's not their job. It's not the church's job. It's not the youth pastor's job, okay? I don't know how many times, 15 years in youth ministry, how many times I had parents come to me, you need to do something about my child. I need to do something about your child? They don't listen. You need to talk to them about obeying. You need to talk to them about respecting. You need to talk, you know, and this thing that comes off. And I remember sometimes just sitting there and it's like, I get them 2 hours a week. I don't know, I should have done math. What's 7 times 24? I don't know. You're with them the rest of this time. And you expect me to change your kid? It starts at home. It's the parents' job. And Paul goes on to address this here in verse 4. In verse 4, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, know here that he isn't just speaking to fathers. He's speaking to both the mother and father, to the parents. As a matter of fact, the word there for fathers in the Greek can be translated into parents. It's that parent figure. And so he's not just speaking to fathers here. When he says fathers here, he's saying, parents, mothers and fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, like we talked about last week, the man and woman become one, right? And it's the parents together's responsibility. It's our responsibility as parents. I'm a parent. It's mine and my wife Stacy's responsibility to raise our kids together, to seek the Lord together, to do it as a team. It's a partnership that they become one. And it's the responsibility of both of them in raising their child. And so Paul addresses here, he hits in these scriptures three ways that we can do a better job of raising our kids. Three things that we can learn as parents and as leaders. You know, this can translate in different ways, but as parents here especially, we can learn. So we're going to take a look at those three things that Paul tells us and apply them to our life. And the first thing that Paul says is, do not exasperate them. Do not exasperate them. As we talked about earlier, fathers had absolute power. They had absolute power back in this time. They had full control over their kids. And the reality is that often it was very harsh and very demanding. And they were very controlling over their kids. It's much like how they were with their women back in that time, that they had this absolute control. It was very harsh. And I think this is why Paul is addressing this situation. And he's saying, don't exasperate them or aggravate them, is another word you can use. Or in some translations, it would say, provoke them to anger. Don't do this to your child. You know, and it's interesting because as I studied this word and its context, even though the fathers and the parents aspect can relate to both, it seemed like quite a few people mentioned that they felt that this was solely or mostly, not solely, but mostly directed at the fathers, this aspect of the scripture. Now, the reality is in today's world, I think it applies to both of us. But back then, because of the harshness of the fathers, because of that absolute rule that they were talking more to the fathers, because the truth is, and even in today's society, maybe not as back then, but even today, fathers tend to be a little more harsh. The fathers tend to be a little bit more controlling in the way we deal with our children. Moms can be a little bit more on the opposite, you know, can be a little bit more on the babying side, on a lack of word for there, you know, on that side. And I think in kids and what I've learned here, there's a balance. We can be too controlling, too harsh, but we can also be a little too babying, a little too this way. And there's a balance, and we need to find that. And I think we see it as we walk through these scriptures, this balance. You know, I grew up with a lot of friends, and I have a few friends in my mind. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of some friends I grew up with, some guys that I know very well. And it was interesting knowing their relationship with their father. Some of them were guys that could never measure up to the expectations of their father. No matter how good they did, it wasn't good enough. And as fathers, I think it's important, and not just as fathers, I think as parents, it's important that we don't forget the power or the importance of encouragement. Because we can be so much about that ruling with an iron fist, we can be so much about this and never, our kids never please us, and always saying what they did wrong and focusing on the negatives, that we can't forget the importance of encouraging our children. You see, if all they ever hear is negative and never hear the positive, I can guarantee you they will become exasperated. I can guarantee you they will become aggravated. They will be provoked to anger. I had a friend who was years ago who was a lawn and garden guy. He did lawn and garden maintenance. And he told me that he would never use weed and feed on lawns. Now, some of you are familiar, I've used it before, but he said, I never use weed and feed. And if you're not familiar with weed and feed, it's got stuff to help kill the weeds and then stuff to try to help fertilize the lawn, and it tries to do both kind of at the same times. And he said, I would never use weed and feed. He only used fertilizer, and he said, I fertilize, kind of was his mentality. And his reasoning was that, he said, if the lawn was lush and was healthy, there wouldn't be any room for the weeds. And so that was his philosophy, fertilize. And I know there's different beliefs on lawn care, and that's great, but I think this is a great analogy for raising kids. I think we need to be people who encourage, that we're pointing out the positives, praising them first. Because then when we continue to praise them and encourage them for the good things, they'll want to continue to do well. They'll want to continue to please and honor their parents. But if we're always critical and only point out the negatives, they're going to get aggravated. They're going to get frustrated. And eventually we see kids give up because they can never please their parents. And this is one of those areas that I know that we fail at time and time again, especially, I think, as fathers. Some of you may be able to relate to some of these scenarios. Maybe you've experienced it as a child, or maybe you've been doing it as a parent. But here's a scenario for you. There's the child that competes in a sporting event or something like that and does well, actually, and they end up winning, right? And they're excited. Yeah, we won. And then the father says, yeah, but if you would have done this, and if you'd have done this, you could have scored more points, you could have had more of this, you could have had more of this. And they focus on the negatives. Or maybe this scenario where a child does something like, you know, tries to clean up or tries to do something special for their parents. You know, like Mother's Day is a great example. I want to make mom breakfast in bed, right? And they end up making 10 times the mess in the kitchen and all these things. And instead of realizing what they were trying to do of help and this wonderful heart that was behind it, as parents, we get angry and we yell at them, look at the mess you've made. What are you doing? And we focus on the negatives. And I know I've been guilty of this at times. I'm really good at focusing on the negatives. And I really need to work hard as a father. Even as a husband at times, I need to work hard at making sure those aren't the first things that come out of my mouth. I don't know how many times, and I'm thankful I went through men's fraternity, because actually some of this was in men's fraternity. One of the men's fraternity they talked about gave that scenario of the sports scenario. And I know I've done that with even my nieces and nephews, where my son wasn't old enough yet in that, but would think, I would see all the negatives and I'd want to be like, well, hey, if you did this, if you did that better. And I'm thinking, why am I focusing on the negatives? And so I've seen this in myself. And I have to work with my own kids. I've had times where I had to bite my tongue when they're playing basketball and I see how I could help him, but I don't want to focus on that first. I don't want to be a negative father. I don't want that for myself. And I have to work really hard at making sure the first things that come out of my mouth are positive, because it's not my desire to tear down. I want to be someone who focuses on the positives and always praises my kids first. And that way, if there are things that need to be corrected, they'll be more apt to receive it. Because the reality is, there will be times where we need to correct our children. There will be times where we do need to bring instruction and correction to them. But if we learn to be positive and encourage and point out the positive things first, it makes it easier for them to receive those things in their life that they need correction for. And this is the next thing that Paul talks about here, is in being good parents. The second thing is, one, don't exasperate your children. But then the second thing he says is nurture them in discipline. And actually, the words used here in the NIV is bring them up in training. But the way this best translates from the Greek is that we need to nurture them in discipline. And that's that nurture in discipline. Because some of us, the discipline, you know, but it's the nurture them in discipline. The scripture started by saying, children, obey your parents. But it's the parents' job to teach them this. And as I stated earlier, training of the soldier starts in the home. And the first lesson a soldier must learn, and I know this from experience, arriving at boot camp, the first lesson a soldier must learn is obedience to those in authority. And so it starts in the home. Our children need to learn obedience to those in authority. Because regardless of what your child may think, you are the authority in the home. God has given you the authority as parents. Now the key here is the little phrase at the end that says, of the Lord. The very end of it, it says, of the Lord. We need to nurture them in the discipline of the Lord. Because sometimes we have in our own mind what discipline is. But we need to seek the Lord in His discipline. And discipline can be a positive or negative thing depending on how it's done. It should never be a matter of control. This was the issue back in this time. The men had this absolute control over their wives, over their children, over slaves, over everything. And Paul is saying here, this needs to change. It should never be about control. It should never be done in anger. It should always, always be done out of love. Now, I'm not going to talk about how you need to discipline your child or when to discipline your child, because I believe that that's something that as parents you need to talk. You have been made one, and there's something about communicating with one another. What are those things that, or how are we going to discipline our kids, or when are those times that our kids are going to need discipline? You need to talk about that as parents. And you know, if you have questions with that, we could talk. We could sit in my office, whatever. We could find parenting information and parenting class. I'm not going to go into that today. But the focus today is understanding, realizing that God's very clear that there needs to be discipline, that kids need to learn obedience. Kids need to learn to honor and respect, and we need to teach that. And I will say this, though. I will say this about discipline. Discipline can, and at times, honestly, should be painful. And what I mean by that, it may be, you know, the good old spank on the rear. It's not, doesn't feel good. If it felt good, why would we do it, right? There's some pain involved in that. If you take something away from a child in a disciplinary action, no, you know what? You're going to lose that for a week. It's painful to that. What? No, I can't go without it, you know? My cell phone, are you serious? How am I going to live? You know, it's painful, okay? It's painful. And it's okay. Discipline can be painful. But it should never cause injury. And the only reason I say it this morning, because it was really interesting, and over the last couple of weeks as I was studying both of these aspects, as a matter of fact, some of them led to me to some books on spousal abuse and child abuse, that whole idea of absolute control that came from that time is where a lot of, over the years, there's this thing, I am in control. I am, you know, in charge. You listen to me. And we've seen this happen over the time because we see it. It's rampant in our world. Spousal abuse, child abuse, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And it comes out of that anger. It comes out of the control issue. But when it's done in love, it should never be bring injury. It should never hurt. It needs to be done out of love for one another. You know, there's that saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never understood that as a child, but I understand that as a parent, and I believe it should be. Because if it's not that way, then we need to ask ourselves in doing it. Are we finding pleasure in the discipline, or is it hard for us? Because I honestly believe it should be hard. You know, I've got great kids, and my little girl, Emma, she's the sweetest little girl. I mean, I just raise my voice and look at her, and she will start to cry. You know, she doesn't need spankings very often, but there's been a couple times that she's needed a spank, and it's because I was very clear about directions, and I said, if you don't do this, you will get a spanking. You need to listen and obey. And she didn't do it. And it was one of those things where I brought her, and she's just like, I know, I'm sorry, Daddy. And I was like, what did Daddy say? That I would get a spanking. You know, and she's just like, and it's hurting me. I'm like, I don't want it. This is, it should be bad enough. But I told her. And I'm one of those that if you say something, you got to follow through with it. You got to do it. And I remember, I mean, I didn't even spank her that hard, but it's just like, it literally hurt me more than it hurt her. Because I'm like, I told you, you know, it's just a little spanking. Ah! You know, she's all screaming when I barely even touched her. But I really believe, honestly, that saying is what it's about. Because our heart and desire is out of love. I don't want to spank my children. I don't want to hurt them. But I do it, and I take things away, and I do those things because I love them. And I want them to learn the discipline of obedience, not just to me, because I have these conversations with my son that you're learning obedience because it's ultimately learning to be obedient to the Lord. And which comes with the next thing is that any time that we discipline, I really believe there needs to be instruction that follows it. We don't just discipline and leave it alone. We explain to our children why. Why this happened, why you've just experienced what you've experienced. And Paul tells us that is the third thing he says is that you have to instruct them or teach them. And like the discipline, it needs to be in the ways of the Lord. I've shared with you before my life scripture, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. It's my life scripture. It's why my kids are named what they're named, and it's a part of who I am. It's been a part of my youth group. It's been a part of everything I've done. That Matthew 5:16, it's huge. Let your light shine. We're called to be light. We're called to let our light shine. And the thing is that should happen first and foremost in our homes. It should happen first and foremost in our homes. You see, one of the greatest ways that we can teach or instruct our kids is by modeling it at home, by showing them. I tell my kids, I'm learning to walk in obedience. I tell you to obey. That's why we're here in Dallas, because we've learned to obey the Lord. When He calls you to do something, you got to do it. You got to walk in that obedience. And we got to model it for our kids. We need to be speaking into their lives and teaching them what it means to be a child of God. This is something I'm very passionate about. I'm very passionate about teaching kids, and when you do things, that you do it with a purpose. You don't just do it. You don't just discipline for no reason. You have a reason behind what you're doing, and you share that with them. You instruct them along the ways. I love my kids so much. I'm so passionate about taking care of my kids, teaching my kids. And are they hard work? Yes, they're extremely hard work at times, but they're a gift from God. And it's my responsibility. He's given them to me, and it's a responsibility of me and my wife to raise them and to teach them the ways of the Lord. One of the things Stacy and I said as we talked about becoming senior pastors, as we moved here and we talked about this big step from youth pastor to senior pastor, we said that we wouldn't let our ministry get in the way of pastoring our family. I know too many pastors over the years that have devoted their life. They've devoted so much of their time to the ministry that their family paid for it. And their family fell apart. And we said from the beginning, that will not be us. Because we are called first and foremost to be men and women of God, to be husband and wife, and to care for our kids. And we pastor our kids before we pastor our church. And it's something the Lord has taught us. And I don't ever want to be one of those pastors that is so devoted to pastoring everyone else that I never pastor my kids. And so that's why you won't see me schedule more than 3 nights a week away from my family. And I try not to even do that, but that's the max. And now, granted, if I go to camp or something like that, that's different. There's those certain times. But in our normal work weeks, I won't schedule more than 3 nights a week for meetings or things. I want at least 4 times a night around the dinner table, if not 5 or 6 times a night. And I love the dinner table, and I encourage you, if you don't sit around the dinner table, I encourage you to do that, because there's some powerful relationship and community that goes on in our family around the dinner table. Our kids are a kick around the dinner table. We have a lot of fun. We talk about best part of the day, worst part of the day sometimes. Sometimes we do something called dinner theater when they get a little squirrely, and we'll tell jokes and do funny stuff to entertain each other, but it's just being together. Lately, we've been walking through moral dilemmas with our kids, and it's been very interesting. We bring up situations and circumstances. My son's at that age. What happens if one of your friends is wanting to look at your test answers at school? How do you respond? What do you do? You know, these kind of questions, and it's that instruction. And we love being around the dinner table, and it's a priority in our lives. And so you won't see me schedule more things more than 3 times a night, because I believe in family and being together. This is also why you won't be able to get a hold of me on Fridays for the most part. Every once in a while I switch that around because of something else, because of my kids. I want to go on a field trip with them, so I'll trade days or something like that. But you won't get a hold of me on Fridays. Now, if it's an emergency, leave a message. I will check my message. But otherwise, you won't get a hold of me, because Friday is my day off and it's my time with my family. And I've just learned there's an importance of valuing our family. And I'm telling you that about me because I think it's the same thing, whether you're a pastor, whether you work anywhere, that sometimes there's so many other things that can get in the way of us loving and teaching and instructing our kids. But God's given them to us, and we have a responsibility to serve them and to love them. My wife and I desire to be the best parents that we can be, and that's why we're working hard at not exasperating our children, encouraging them, loving them. Now, there are times that we need to discipline, and we do that by nurturing our child in discipline. And the third thing, we're working hard at instructing them in the ways of the Lord. And here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing that if we do that. You see, I skipped over one of the verses today, and some of you may have realized and said, wow, we didn't touch on that part of the scripture. The second half of verse 2 and verse 3. And it says, honor your father and mother. I said that. And then I didn't cover this last part. It says, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. And it's speaking to the children here, that if you honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you and that you will enjoy long life here on earth. What an amazing promise that you'll enjoy long life here on earth. You want to know what that spoke to me as I read this? You know, I'm one of those, I love to open the Word. I love to just pray and seek God and allow Him to speak to me. And this is one of those things that I just looked at that scripture, and this is what the Lord said to me. You see, I believe that we have a responsibility to teach our kids to obey and to honor and respect their parents. So if we're faithful to teach them these things in and of the Lord, then I believe that they'll obey and that they'll honor and respect me as their parents. Now, they have a choice in that, and some kids are stubborn, and so at least I can do part of my job. I can do part of the job. They have to choose the other part. But I really believe that if we truly teach them in the way, in love, that they'll want to do that. They'll want to honor and respect their parents. And so I'm getting to help my children experience long life here on earth when I do what I'm supposed to do, when I teach them to obey, when I teach them to honor and respect. I'm helping them receive this promise. What a great thing for me to get to help them experience this promise here on this earth by teaching them and instructing them in the ways of the Lord. God desires healthy, loving relationships between parents and children. And I believe it can happen. Now, there are natural things that happen when a kid hits 13. Actually, it's even sooner than that. But there are natural things that happen when kids, you know, whatever. And so it's not going to be this perfect world. But I believe if we continue to love and continue to give it to the Lord and continue to care for our kids in the way that God's called us to, that as it says that if you raise your children in the ways of the Lord, they will return to it. And I really believe that. And I believe it's our responsibility as parents to begin that healthy relationship with our kids, to teach them these things. Now, some of you, as I share these things, some of you may be older, some of you have kids, or, oh man, they're already out of control. It's too late for that now. But here's what I want to say. It's never too late. It's never too late to love your kids. It's never too late to care for your kids, to come around your kids. You see, we can't change the past, but we always can change the future. Now, it's not on our strength, but it's through the power of the Lord in us and through us and in our relationships. And that's what healthy relationships are about, putting God first in any of them and allowing Him to be in control. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning, and Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, hearing those things, even myself this week, it's challenging because I know I'm trying to be the best father I can be, but I know I fail time and time again in these areas, in the way I speak to my kids, the things that I say, or sometimes because of I'm busy, I don't take the time that I should to instruct or to discipline, and I'm not always consistent, Lord. But Lord, I just pray that You help us to take this word and just allow it to settle into our hearts, Lord, and to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. How can we grow and become better, one, men and women of God, but two, just better parents, Lord, for those of us that are parents, Lord. How can we be better parents, Lord, of hearing the Scripture? Or those of us that are kids, or we're all kids, we all have parents, and it doesn't matter how old we still need to honor and respect our parents, Lord. And I know that there's been relationships and situations in our lives that maybe have been severed between parents and children, Lord. And I just thank You that You are a God of restoration. You are a God that wants to restore and bring healthy relationships back, Lord. And so, Lord, we give You this word today. Let it speak to our hearts where we're at. Challenge us in our relationships with parents and children, Lord. Teach us how to love, how to encourage, how to honor, how to respect. Whichever end that we're on, Lord, just help us to learn these things. Speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. We just thank You for Your word, Lord. Help us to apply it to our own lives, Lord, in the way that You would guide and direct us to. Lord, we thank You for this morning. Thank You again for just an amazing group of people. Lord, I am so blessed every week as they just come and are excited to seek You. And that's our desire, Lord, again, that I would decrease, that You might increase, that all of us, Lord, would decrease, and that You might increase in all of us. As we go out from here this week, I pray that, Lord, help us to decrease and You increase in our lives as we walk throughout our workplaces, in our homes, Lord. Help us to do our best, Lord, in our relationships, Lord, at home, in our relationships at work, Lord, in all of our the people and everything and every person we come in contact with, Lord, just to see with Your eyes more of You, less of us, Lord. That's our prayer. We thank You, and we just praise You for these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.